T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Josh Allen waiting on the sidelines, desperate for a chance. First and goal at the 8. Mahomes gets the shotgun snap, pumps, throws for the end zone to Kelce, adjusting, makes the catch, touchdown! Travis Kelce with a touchdown in the back right corner of the end zone. Kansas City wins it, 42-36 in overtime, and the Chiefs will host their fourth straight AFC Championship game. For the first time in NFL history, a team will host a championship game for the fourth straight year. That team is the Kansas City Chiefs.
And welcome into Pony and Muller. Andrew Filippone, Chris Muller, Donnie Football. He is proud of that nickname today after football stole the show this weekend. The greatest football weekend of all time. And that's why I thought Kevin Kugler on Westwood One, his call sucked. Didn't do it justice.
You needed a Harlan there?
I needed somebody to say, did we just witness the greatest football game of all time? I don't care about the Chiefs having four straight AFC Championship games. Not like the Bills going to four straight Super Bowls.
You're saying he had too much immediate moment tunnel vision.
I mean,
he didn't have a sense of what he was watching while he was watching it.
Take a step back and like, holy crap.
Is that missing the forest for the trees?
Yes.
Is that the proper application of that phrase?
I mean, look, we're all at times put yourself in shackles in an orange suit and say, I am a prisoner of the moment. I'm behind bars. I'm in this cell that is the moment.
Yes.
And I can't get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything has to be either the best thing or the worst thing ever as soon as it ends with us.
Who would you say is guilty of that more, me or you, on this show?
Oh, I don't think at all. I think we're about as objective as it gets. Of course, with Donnie and his historical insights as far as the game of football is concerned, we always have our fingers on the pulse of things. But, I mean, I honestly thought it was the best divisional round weekend before the Chiefs and Bills game even kicked off. And that was the best game of the four. I mean, it absolutely, let me ask you this. Is there a Steelers game that all time that you've watched that was better than that?
No.
Does that beat Super Bowl 43?
Yes.
Why?
Super Bowl 43 had an incredible play at the end of the first half.
Yep.
And then it had two back-to-back drives that were thrilling at the end of the game. In between, there was a decent amount of just filler. That game,
you got a Gary Russell touchdown thrown in there.
The state,
right,
what
Donnie?
Made, yes. What made that game so great yesterday was it was very clearly established early on that it was a heavyweight quarterback slugfest, and that as good as Buffalo's defense was all year, and as good as the Chiefs were scoring defense wise, that wasn't going to matter. So you had dramatic tension building while the score stayed sort of marginal, right? Like it wasn't like all out scoring every possession. You're just like, oh God, here it comes at the end, and then the ending really did. And as it always has to be this way, you have to have some people making tactical errors, I think, to make something great. Obviously, the Bills' no squib kick is part of this.
Do you agree that that was the greatest folly by them?
Yes.
So do I.
Clearly, because it runs off 2 or 3 seconds, bare minimum, probably 4. And then you've got one play for the Chiefs, and then I think they have to throw a Hail Mary. So I think that was obvious. They acted like the Chiefs had no timeouts, which is just insane. Anyway, though,
I think they were caught up in the
They couldn't
the
believe Allen had done it, and there was not like Sean McDermott saying, hey, kick this ball on the ground.
I would, just like they did after the Music City Miracle, I would have fired the special teams coach on the way back to Buffalo. Because it's his job.
You could have gotten away with it,
It's his
sure.
job to go up to McDermott and say, all right.
Squib or deep? Right. Yeah, or do you want a return of this kick or not?
Yeah.
Is basically
the
question.
And if we find out that McDermott wanted them to just kick it through the end zone, well, then the joke's on him. I mean,
I would agree with that.
He's the goat of the situation. He's the loser.
But no, I only bring that up to say you have to usually have, in a truly great game, somebody make that sort of a blunder to open the door again to get it to the ultimate point. That game was just on drugs for the last 2 minutes. I mean, every time you thought, like, okay, well, Allen put him ahead. Now is Mahomes going to match him? No way Allen can match him again, even though I tweeted out too much time on the clock, 62 seconds. Part of me didn't believe it. I thought, this might have been Josh Allen's day ran out. Nope. Just made ridiculous play after ridiculous play. 13 seconds left. I was like, holy crap. But in the back of my mind, you think it's Mahomes, so you can't say it's over yet. And then it wasn't. Like, I wasn't alive for, Chargers and, Dolphins?
Yeah.
Whatever, in 81,
Kellen Winslow
game.
Gets carried off the field.
Everyone tells me that is the greatest. You have doubtless watched it on YouTube. It's hard for me, though, to quantify that kind of emotion, what that must have been like, without watching it in the moment.
That's before Marino shows up in Miami. So it's not Fouts and Marino in an all-time thriller. It's not two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, like you said, these heavyweights, great guys on top of their game, you know, young, and it's crazy to think with Mahomes, still a young, growing quarterback, just making excellent play after excellent play. That was not the case in that game, right? So when I compare it and put it through the filter of, well, let me just think of off the top of my head the greatest games I've ever watched, or the greatest games that are considered great by people that were watching football before my mom and dad even made love to each other, okay? What? It's true.
Okay. Yeah, I know. You didn't come in a stork.
Yeah. So, Super Bowl III, 16-0. It's only thought of as a great game because of the underdog quality of the Jets and the merger and Namath's guarantee. The game itself sucked.
Kind of boring.
The Immaculate Reception. I don't think a touchdown was scored in that game until there was like 2 minutes left. It was a slog for 58 minutes.
Correct.
You could put the last 2 minutes of that game up against any game ever, but it just produced an indelible moment. It wasn't a great game. You could say the same thing about Super Bowl 42. It's a catch off a helmet, and an undefeated team loses, but the game itself wasn't great. Steelers and Cardinals, you're getting closer, but you're still not to this level. Seeing two great quarterbacks play A-plus games, I think that is football at its best.
I think Josh Allen was
over any other form of football. Great defense.
Oh, yeah,
you can have
that.
But that, to me...
Well, defenses are still trying. Like, I heard Joe and Ron and Bob talk about this, and so I disagreed a little bit, and I'm with you, actually.
What did they say?
Well, no, they just talked about how, like, you can look and point to other equally dramatic, more well-rounded games.
Like what?
The 08 AFC title game, Steelers-Ravens, a bloodbath. Like, the whole idea
Wait, people think that game was on par with this one?
No, they're just talking about other great games.
But
and
do you?
No, I don't. And they made the argument that, hey, if you're contesting every square inch of turf, it makes the offense more easy to appreciate. And the defenses are still trying, man. Like, I don't know. I've watched a lot of teams play pretty good defense this year and hold teams in the teens. That is just A-plus quarterbacking. I actually thought, by the way, the weird thing with how great that game was, I thought Josh Allen actually pulled off the rare feat of in defeat elevating himself to a new level with people.
Well, didn't Mahomes do that in the Super Bowl last year for some people? Like,
well, no,
he
had already,
he
had already won the whole thing. My point is, Allen yesterday leaves that field knowing there is quite literally nothing else he could have done. And he went into the belly of the beast with the big bad guy, even though Mahomes isn't unlikable.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he goes in, though, to that building and is trading punches and getting the better of it. And if his coach just does something pretty simple, hey, squib it down inside the 10 if you can, so they have to pick it up and return it and not just fall on it to get some yardage, they're in the AFC title game hosting it. Like, I don't know how you look at Josh
Allen.
Right. I don't know how you look at Josh Allen coming out of that game as anything but a guy enhanced, even though he lost. To me, he's now one of the three best quarterbacks in the league. It's him, it's Mahomes, and pick your third. It might be the guy that is going to face Mahomes, for all I know. Like, that's how good those guys look right now. It was incredible,
happened,
though.
You know what I think happened there, Malzi? I think that in the AFC, where it was Brady, Manning, Roethlisberger, and then the Ravens, even though I don't put Flacco, of course, like in that, vein. Like, he's not even close to a Hall of Famer. But you had, for more than a decade, you had three quarterbacks that really dominated the conference. I think now it's revealed itself who the next, who's up next? What's this next era of AFC
football?
Two guys
that played last night, the guy that's in the AFC title game with them.
Yeah, I think
Herbert's going to get himself in there too.
He'll have his say.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't.
Well, Trevor Lawrence, the number one overall pick, who if he gets a real coach might actually have something to say.
Personally, I don't put Lamar Jackson in with those guys.
With all due respect to Lamar Jackson, who has an MVP trophy, like,
yeah, but
he's not doing what either of the guys did last night.
And his style is one that I don't think is built to last. I don't think, like, the throws that we watched Allen make and Mahomes make, dream of making.
Allen was doing a mix of running student body right, student body left, and then just throwing seeds 35 yards down the field. I thought he outplayed Mahomes yesterday. I really did.
But the Chiefs went up 9. And I'm like, oh, this game's pretty much over. And then the very next play was Allen just threw, what, like an 80-yard dart.
He said, oh, I'll beat your two high safeties. I'll beat your big cover, too. I'll just throw it over all of them.
I mean, is there any game you want to nominate for better than that?
No.
There's a few that
best
I can think of.
Best game in my life that I've seen.
There's Patriots-Falcons 28-3
Chiefs,
in the
Chiefs,
Super Bowl.
Chiefs-Rams from a couple years ago in the regular season where it was, what, in the 50s?
I can't put a regular season game in there. Malzahn is not the same stage.
I mean, if you want sheer dramatic weight, watching an undefeated Patriots team go down in flames was pretty unbelievable. The Falcons-Patriots game was not the same kind of enjoyment because it was slow-motion horror realizing it was actually going to happen. Like,
how about the Patriots-Chiefs AFC Championship game from a couple of years ago at Arrowhead?
Had the same feel, except the different dynamic there was it was young guy versus the old lion.
Yeah, but that's still pretty cool,
which,
dude.
No, it was awesome to watch. It was the same vibe of whoever gets it first, it was, you know, going to win the game in overtime. This was watching, you know I love boxing. This was watching two young heavyweight fighters in their primes just absolutely trade punches. And nobody's going down. And it's at the end of the fight, like, one guy happens to just win 115, 113 on the scorecards.
I couldn't help but think about Steelers fans, though, watching that. That game, which produced a rating in Pittsburgh that was on par with Steelers games. That's how many people were first drawn to it and then couldn't take their eyes off it, couldn't turn the channel. I couldn't help but think of Steelers fans watching that and thinking, yeah, what do we do here? What do we do to either keep up or catch up to these teams? Like, there's that bittersweet taste of a game like that where
you watch it with a detachment that where you can just enjoy it on its merits, but you have a pit in your stomach. My team's not going to be in there. I said to Bob when they were walking out, I said, how if you are a Steelers fan who has come off of a pretty damn good 20-year run or so, how can you have watched that game outside of the obvious enjoyment you get as a sports fan with anything other than a feeling of looming dread? Isn't that what you felt? Maybe not dread's not the right word, but like the fear of missing out. You don't have a Burrow.
FOMO? Football FOMO?
You don't have a Burrow. He's in your division now, and he's going to be a problem. You don't have a Mahomes. You damn sure don't have Josh Allen. You don't have Herbert. You've got Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins and whatever else comes next. And so it makes it feel like it's light years away. It really does.
Well, look, Jimmy Garoppolo is still playing, okay? So it's not like the entire championship field is made up of great quarterbacks, players that already have a Hall of Fame resume or are well on their way to amassing one. So it's not like it's a complete sweep 4-4-4, but Nance and Romo were talking about this during the game. Just the way the AFC looks moving forward, where it's going to be a conference that is driven by great young quarterbacks. That's like, that to me is the, you said dread, like that's the scary part of it for me, is where do we get someone that might not be as good as those guys, but at least gives us a chance to annually compete with them. Where?
They don't grow. Well, I mean, that's why everyone kind of gets
Burrow
mad.
Burrow was the first overall
everyone
pick.
Gets
They're not going to sink to the bottom like
no.
that.
Everyone gets mad at me for being like an absolutist about this, but if you don't have Jimmy G's in it because they know how to scheme around him, and he basically didn't screw up as much as the Packers special teams did, but they know what they have in him. The Steelers don't have that level of coaching staff. In my lifetime, I don't feel like they ever have offensively, like a true visionary schemer. A guy who's way out ahead of the curve. So if you don't
Arians
have that,
was pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. He didn't win anything until Tom Brady came around, really.
What do you mean?
Well, no, he did actually. Forget it.
He was.
After post Steelers though, afterwards they had more of a Josh Allen like unicorn.
I mean, he won two Coach of the Years, went to an NFC Championship game, and went to the playoffs as an interim coach with Andrew Luck in his rookie year.
Well, the Andrew Luck thing is impressive because that guy's wildly overrated. My point is, they don't have a guy who schemes like Reed and Bieniemy do. Daboll is on the rise in that sense. And McVay, love him or hate him, I think has a pretty established rep.
Of course he does.
My point is here, the reason I'm bringing this up is, I have been occasionally laughed at and said, well, you're only giving them one avenue to find this guy. They've got to find a unicorn-level talent who makes everything else rise with him, coaching included. Look at that staff right now. Matt Canada looks like he's going to get another chance to do the Matt Canada offense. Why do you think I feel the way I do? They need to find Josh Allen. Not even like Mahomes, because I think Allen just is more purely gifted. I think that's obvious. They need to find Josh Allen.
I don't know. Allen seems like he's one of a kind to me.
That's
someone
what I mean.
That big with that arm strength who can move like that. It is hilarious to me that the Browns looked at Baker Mayfield in that same draft and said, I think we'll take this guy instead.
I have to say, I'm not going to defend the Browns here. I saw somebody laugh and say, how could Fresno State, which was the school nearest to Josh Allen's hometown, not recruit him? Because they didn't. They thought he wasn't good enough.
What do you do? Community college, then Wyoming?
Yeah. The funny thing is, and this is the same
sort of
thing
that... the community college route, too.
Right. It's the same thing that befell the Browns. He sucked at throwing until Carson Palmer's brother fixed him.
Well, like, he had a massive arm.
I mean, he wasn't this guy. He's not this guy without Carson Palmer's brother Jordan fixing him. So the thing you can't predict.
Can Carson Palmer's brother Jordan fix Mason Rudolph, please?
There has to be something there to fix.
Donnie, what was your big takeaway watching that game? I know you had some delicious...
What did you eat yesterday?
You had some tater tots, I saw.
Yeah, and probably...
You had a sandwich with a pierogi on it?
Yeah, one of the best burgers I ever had.
Okay.
Is it enhanced by the experience of watching the game? You're like, this game is great, this burger is great.
I think it would have been great no matter what. I mean, it was a burger that had... pierogies on it.
All right, so like what's the football guy's onions. Big takeaway from that game?
That was one of the greatest games I've ever seen. And, like, I know people say that all the time. Whenever they see a good game, you hear the hyperboles all the time, but it was. And it capped off one of the best weekends we've ever seen.
How much did the game – okay, so we all agree it was awesome, and it was just surreal to watch it happen in real time. How much of your thought process was sort of nagging back of the mind – ah, crap, the Steelers have to try to beat this?
Well, I knew that going in, that the Steelers were pretty far away, and they're galaxies away after the quarterback play you saw in that.
They're galaxies.
That's the other thing.
Are galaxies bigger than universes or solar systems? No.
Solar system, galaxy.
And then universe.
Universe, a lot bigger than galaxies. That's the other thing, Don. You say that, like, you realize how far away they are. I saw a lot of people do the old cliche, it looks like they're playing a different sport, but it does. Like, that's what drove it home more than just not having the player at that position. Look at the stuff those teams are capable of, man. Like, look at what Josh Allen can do when Melvin Ingram blows up a play. He just scoots away from him, throws a couple pump fakes, lowers his shoulder, and he's trucking people out there.
The Bills had the number one defense in the NFL, and they couldn't get a stop with 13 seconds left. I mean, say what you will about the squib kick, but they still... really only had to hold up for two plays, and they still couldn't.
No, Leslie Frazier's a defense head coaching prospect took a hit.
I'm just saying, if the Steelers think that the way to go moving forward is let's try to just put together and accumulate an elite defense, I don't know. I feel like Mahomes and the Chiefs are a cheat code for that, and the Bills are getting pretty close to it. And the Bengals won't be that far off either.
I think the Steelers...
with Chase and Burrow and all the weapons they have there, if they invest in their offensive line, look out, Mahomes.
I think Burrow can beat either of those guys. I think those three guys are good enough, and Herbert, I think, will be good enough, that if the teams are built right around him, it'll become a four-team crapshoot every year, and maybe Lawrence is the real deal and whatever. Doesn't it make you wonder, man, about the way the Steelers have decided to try to build? We've got to get back to running the football. We still love to play defense. Screw that. Load up, baby. The NFL wants points. Seriously. Like, you think I'm kidding? Like, okay, the Rams, they won a game because they jumped out 27-3, and then they had to hold on that big old defense with Aaron Donald and Von Miller. Granted, because their offense kept screwing up,
the Steelers
started getting strafed.
If the Steelers can get playoff games and the snow and the wind like the 49ers, maybe they can win with six offensive points and beat Aaron Rodgers.
The Titans sacked Joe Burrow 9 times and won a grind and pound. except they don't have a dude at quarterback, so they're sitting at home.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
233, stop out today to Century 3 Chevy for their used car super sale. Keith Butler going to join us in 2 hours. Reports are he's ready to play some golf and spend time with his grandkids. How's that sound to you, Malzi?
Sounds nice. Sounds real nice. Man's earned it. Walk away. Enjoy the games.
Also, he said he's excited to learn how to play Madden.
Don't believe that he said that one.
Because at least on there, he'll be allowed to call his own plays.
Ah!
Yes. I don't know if you saw that quote in the Dulac story.
I should have read that Telegraph setup a little better and put it up there for you.
Ray Fittipaldo, Steelers insider with us, Post-Gazette. Ray, if you were going to put one of your grades on last night's football game, what would you give it?
The entire weekend was pretty awesome if you're a fan. I'd probably give an F to the defenses, A-plus to the quarterbacks. That was something else.
But you're not one of these guys who thinks because the defense was so bad, it was not a great game, are you?
No, I thought the game was awesome, but there is no way in heck that with 13 seconds remaining or whatever time was left,
yep,
that the Chiefs would be able to get into field goal range. I mean, that was just coaching malpractice on the part of Sean McDermott.
If the Steelers leave the Chiefs 13 seconds, do they score a touchdown, Chris, and just win in regulation? What do you think? Kelsey gets behind him.
Yeah, they run the don't cover Travis Kelsey defense. Yeah. What? Ray, speaking of the Steelers defense, which it feels like a miracle that they and Buffalo gave up the same number of points to Kansas City, honestly. Do you expect there to be any change in the way the defense is called on game day, i.e. if it is Terrell Austin who succeeds Keith Butler officially, is he going to have any more agency in the plays that actually get called?
I don't get that sense right now, Chris. I mean, listen, anything can change. You know, Art II will be having his exit meetings with Tomlin and GM Kevin Colbert, presumably sometime this week or next week. So, you know, kind of all depends on what transpires there. But, you know, I think I could come up with better reasons for the Steelers taking a big fall in their defense this year. I think the injuries probably had the most to do with that. You know, whether it was Keith Butler or Mike Tomlin calling the signals for the past 7 years, I don't put that very high on the list. So to answer your question, no, I don't think it's going to change. But, you know, we'll see what happens here over the next couple of weeks as they interview these defensive coordinators who have to fill Butler's spot.
Ray, do you think it should? I mean, in just your educated opinion, watching the Steelers up close, do you think that they should let a defensive coordinator call the plays?
You know, guys, I think Mike has earned that over the last couple of years. And listen, I know he only coordinated the defense for one season before he got the Steelers' job, but he came up as a defensive coach. I mean, he was with Dungy and Gruden in Tampa Bay. He learned from the best here in Pittsburgh with Dick LeBeau. I mean, if Mike wants to call the signals and he feels like that's the best chance for the Steelers to win, then I trust him. You know, it would be kind of silly for me to sit here and say, well, no, I think Vic Fangio, who has no idea about the personnel on this team, would come in and do a better job. So, no, I'm not going to say that. Now, can Mike be better? Can there maybe be more collaboration with the next DC? You know, I remember this. It was the middle of the season, and they were just getting gashed in run defense. And Keith Butler kind of let it slip in one of his Thursday talks with us. Well, I would rather stop the run, but Mike is the head coach, and he doesn't put as much importance on it. So maybe, you know, next year, does he listen to his next DC and to others that stopping the run is more important? I don't know, but I tend to think that Mike has earned it, you know, with his tenure here. And, so I don't have any issue with him calling the defense. I think the bigger issue is them getting healthy up front, most importantly.
Ray, you said that there's going to be the exit interviews with Art Rooney II and Mike Tomlin and everybody else. When should we expect to hear from Art Rooney II? And given some of the things he said in previous years that he wanted to see fixed and the way they really haven't been fixed, do you expect this to be maybe a little bit more of a peppery owner than usual when we hear him talk?
It's hard to say. I mean, Art usually talks. He'll have his sit down with the beat reporters. It's usually late January, early February. So figure on, next week. I don't know what Art is going to say this year. I think, the playoff berth came out of the blue. I think, he'll acknowledge that and everything that they overcame to get there. But the running game still isn't there until they get another great quarterback. I think to be competitive, you're going to need a better offensive line and a better run scheme in there. And, this year he's probably going to talk about the run defense too, because that just put them in such a bad spot week in and week out trying to defend people. So, we kind of know what Art is going to say, but I don't know if it's going to be any more, any more critical of the coaches or the organization. Knowing that what I know of Art and, how measured he is in his approach in these types of situations.
Ray, do you think that this Patrick Graham report is a situation where the Steelers have to follow the NFL rules and interview an external candidate, or do you think he actually has a chance to be their next DC?
Listen, I think anyone who gets an interview has a chance. And, what better organization, you go back to 2007, Mike Tomlin was not on the radar as being one of the next great head coaches. Russ Grimm and Ken Wisenhunt were the top two in-house candidates. And, Dan Rooney decided to interview Mike, and he was just blown away by him. So, maybe now that Mike is in this seat, maybe he'll be blown away by Patrick Graham. But listen, the Steelers groomed Terrell Austin to be the next defensive coordinator, much in the same way they did with Keith Butler when he was behind Dick LeBeau. So I think it would be a small upset if Austin is not the next guy. But, anyone who gets an interview in this process, I give them a chance because, if any organization has ever done things the right way, and not necessarily because it's a rule now. It's a rule now because of Dan. But, I think the Steelers do things the right way. I think Mike will give this process, all of the all the background and all the consideration it deserves.
Ray, I know that they don't have, as you just alluded to, the quarterback yet. They need to find that next guy to try to seriously compete. But then I thought about, Art Rooney wanting, and granted, that's with end of career Roethlisberger, so I get it a little bit. I want to make the running game better. We can't be last in the league in running the ball. I get that, but sometimes I hear the power brokers for this organization speak about their priorities, and I think that's out of whack with what I see the best teams in the NFL doing to win football games.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, Chris. They don't have a Joe Burrow or a Patrick Mahomes or a Josh Allen or a Justin Herbert to play that way, right? I mean, and even the Bengals, I think Bengals can run the ball if they want to. They got Joe Mixon. They can do that if they want to. They just have a better chance to win games by putting it in the hands of the number one overall pick. But there are teams like the Ravens who, other than this year, have done it with the running game. You look at the 49ers. I mean, the 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo is probably better than an average NFL QB, but he's not like a top 10 guy. So they get it done with the running game. I think, you know, to your point, until you get that guy, you kind of have to lean on something. I mean, this is a team, despite its issues stopping the run this year, you still have three all-pro caliber defensive players that you can build around. So I until they get that next guy, I think this is going to be a team that wins with defense, wins with low-scoring games. And to do that, I think you need a running game. But I'm with you. I look around, and it's going to be an uphill climb for the Steelers to be competitive in this conference in the next few years unless they go out and find that next quarterback. I can't guarantee that it's going to be this year, but it's a very daunting task when you look around the AFC landscape and look at some of the stuff that's going on.
Ray, do you – I know, you know, it's the Post-Gazette. Jerry does a good job on the BDS for a long time. I was shocked on Friday when he wrote, hey, don't just assume that Canada's back. Rooney still might step in here. And when I saw him write that in a chat like five or six times, I'm like, I can't picture Tomlin talking on Tuesday and being so complimentary of Canada without having assurances from his owner that the guy's going to be back next year. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, but there is a history there. And listen, Bruce Arians, we all know what he did after he left the Steelers in 2011. He had great success with the Colts. He had great success, good success with Arizona, and then great success, you know, with the Buccaneers. So, I think Jerry pointed that out because it has happened before. And I think if you look at those two coaches, I think Bruce Arians has many more credentials than Matt Canada does. But
man, but that looks Tomlin look real bad if that's what happens.
It would. But I think Jerry was just pointing out the precedent. And I have to be honest with you, Andrew. I don't know. I mean, he did that news conference basically, 36 hours after the Chiefs game? I have a hard time believing that he had any extensive conversations with Art II in that 36-hour period before he met with us. So I wouldn't put too much stock into what was said there. I know what he said. One way or the other, I think we're going to know by the end of this week. I mean, the Senior Bowl is next week. Practice starts next Tuesday. They're going to want that next offensive coordinator down there with them, scouting those quarterbacks. I think of the top six quarterbacks in this draft class, I think five of them are going to be in Mobile. I think everyone except Matt Corral is going to be there. So it would make sense to have your next OC down there. Does it have to be that way? No. But I think Art knows well enough that that would probably be good for this organization, good for this coaching staff if they had the proper personnel there to evaluate.
Well, it won't be a big deal if they do let go of Canada because then they can just send Mike Sullivan down there. It'll be perfect, Ray. Their next offensive coordinator. I mean – man, they could do, if Mike Tomlin, even more so than people want to see him give up the defensive signal calling, I'm not as hot to trot necessarily about that. If they let go of Matt Canada and brought in somebody who was just reputed around the league as a big-time offensive ideas guy, that would probably be the one coaching staff move that would actually start to make me think they realize they need to change some of their tactics this offseason. I don't think it's going to happen, but that would actually give me some hope.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Chris, I think a lot of people feel that way. I mean, the chances of that happening, I don't know. The last two times he's had to hire an offensive coordinator, he has promoted from within. I mean, the one time that he did not was he went out and got Todd Haley, and I know a lot of people believe that one was kind of dumped on him from, yep, you know, from the front office. So we'll see where it goes. I mean, if I had to handicap it right now, I think it's probably 60-40 that Matt is the OC. But like I said, I think we'll have some clarity on that in the next couple of days.
I mean, you were in on those Zoom calls. I still am stunned by how Rudolph seemed to feel so comfortable pretty much blaming a lot of the offense's struggles on trying to find an offense that fit Ben. You know, we didn't really see the real Matt Canada offense because Ben's a veteran quarterback and, you know, had a lot of say in it. You know, it was a hybrid between what Matt wanted to do and what Ben wanted to do. I don't know. I kept hearing that and I'm like, why are they making excuses for this guy?
Yeah. I mean, Mason tried to tread lightly. Dwayne tried to do the same thing. I think they called it a meshing or a collaboration. And whatever it was, it surely didn't work out. I mean, you guys know better than anyone that, you know, I wrote this last week. I mean, Dwayne ran a 5.04 at his combine, and Mason ran like a 4.9 something. I mean, you know, for all this talk about the next Steelers quarterback, neither of those two guys
are mobile.
Fit exactly what Mike Tomlin has kind of been predicting to us, yep. Right? So it's kind of odd in that way. I guess they both provide a little bit more mobility than what Ben did the last couple of years, but it's not like they're Malik Willis or Sam Howell or any of these other guys who are going to be eligible for the draft here in a couple months.
Ray Fittipaldo, check out his reports on the Steelers' future at postgazette.com and on 93.7 The Fan. Thank you, Ray.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Tannehill waiting on the shotgun snap. Clock still moving. 28 seconds. Here's the snap. Tannehill back to pass. Looks. Fires down the middle. Tipped high in the air. Oh, it's intercepted. It's picked off by the Bengals. Burrow looking. Fires right side. Number Chase. He's got it. Out of bounds. Out of bounds with 15 seconds left at the Tennessee 33. Here's the snap. Ball down. McPherson's kick is on the way. And it is good. And the Bengals win. The Cincinnati Bengals are going to the AFC title game.
Worst to first, and now on their way to the AFC championship game, the Bengals. I had a revelation watching that.
Yes.
I had
an epiphany?
Something occurred to me watching that game Saturday afternoon. My in-laws were over.
Oh, see, I was out to dinner and I listened to it.
My mother-in-law was bitching about Tom Brady, as per usual.
Did I tell you I went on limited data on the phone, so while Alex and I were on the way home from dinner, I actually watched the game in the car?
Congratulations on making it to the 21st century, Malsy.
I know. I was being a cheapskate, but that allowed me to guilt-free throw on that game in the car and watch it.
Yep. It also would allow you to, if you wanted to watch a video of us doing snap, hold, kick.
The operation, if you will, on special teams.
Here at work today, I uncorked a boot that probably would have been good from at least 40.
Yeah, before you get to your revelation about the game, Donnie actually played center in high school. He said he was like second team.
Well, you couldn't tell in this video.
He said he was second team all conference.
Long snapper and center are two different positions.
It wasn't a long snap.
You were making a shotgun snap at most. I was like 8 feet behind you.
Not even.
That was a shotgun snap, which you said you have executed.
I also never did it with a Nerf football. Oh. And I already pointed out my mistakes.
Well, you have to wear it publicly.
I turned my head. I looked back before the ball was even through my legs.
Yeah, our fake John and Robinson said you got caught turkey necking.
I had no warm-up kicks in socks on a Nerf football, and that didn't prevent me from booting the crap out of it.
Yeah, I got to be honest, Donnie. The real revelation was not that you had a bad snap. I mean, it happens to everybody. I think somebody said it's still better than Kendrick Green, which was by far the best response.
And accurate.
Pony having made so many bold claims that he could boot a 40-yarder. We all laughed at him, right? We said, get out there and prove it. Now I'm a little leery because he kicked the unholy snot out of that football. Like, I felt the vibration up into my hand from how hard he kicked that damn thing.
Well, the weather's going to get a little bit nicer, and we'll be able to see that for real.
Why
you
does
have
it
to
have
pull
to
the
get
Tom
nicer?
Dempsey
I
out.
Think send me out in the conditions, in the elements,
okay,
if you will.
Now he feels like he's Adam Vinatieri.
Dude, how much of a baller, by the way, is McPherson, where Burrow tells the story that he goes up to Brandon Allen when they were getting ready to kick, swings his leg once, and says, guess we're going to the AFC Championship game.
So
very badass.
Here's an idea that popped into my head watching that game.
Okay.
The time that we will spend talking about stopgap Steelers quarterbacks who are reclamation project guys who failed in their last stop, and somehow the Steelers are going to sprinkle magic fairy dust on the guy and he's going to become good here. The patron saint of that right now in the NFL is Tannehill. And look at how he
played. Look what it got them.
That's what I mean. Like, that's best case scenario with one of the guys that the Steelers get. So what are we even doing with, like, these Trubisky discussions?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.